this. Leave it to us. We'll deal with it.
I mean, you and I would be able to say both
parts.
20 years, maybe. I might still be.
We're ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome to the Daniel Planning Commission. This is Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B, Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. We're starting about 7:10 p.m. We'll start with item number one, which is public comment regarding items that are not on the agenda. Do you have anyone that wants to comment? Go to item two then, which is a summary of the council meeting. So, you read that, Mary?
Would you like me to read that?
Yes, please.
This is the town council meeting of April 6, 2026. City of Rock presented a final plat for their subdivision, and the council approved the plat. Item number two, a deferral agreement with Geneva Rock was passed, which allows Geneva Rock to defer infrastructure improvements adjacent to their property. The term of the agreement is for 25 years. One Shot LLC was approved for a new business license once they come into compliance with the Danieltown Code. The business license application for Daniel's Highway 40 Storage LLC was continued in order for the council to acquire more information. JDB Slope Works Incorporated and KB Land Surveying were approved for new business licenses. Action Performance Electric, Made to Sparkle, Larson Grounds Maintenance, and Temp View Contracting Services were approved for business license renewal. Daniel Resolution 2026-0406 was passed, which prohibits fireworks or any other open flame in all areas south of 3000 South and the entire Stormhaven, Crazy Acres, and Tammy Lane subdivisions from June 1st through October 31st, 2026. The following town policies were also adopted: cash receipting and deposit policy, procurement policy, and conflict of interest policy.
Thank you, Mary. Let's move to number three, which is the permit approval for the Quaid residents. I think we have all seen this one. Page three of your packet.
Yeah, so I'll just bring up the commission on speed with this one. We've drafted an agreement for water service to this lot. That has not been signed yet, nor have the fees been paid. But what we're looking for tonight is approval. The site plan and the height is what you guys look at. The engineering checks are still being done. So we'd like a motion to approve, subject to those items, the water and the engineering review.
What is the height on it?
So that's your second page there.
Yeah, I can't see what those
26
numbers are.
26.
Tiny. I can't even zoom up on my email.
26. Just so I can read it.
Yeah, like this here. I can get up on this to
read it. Can't even read it.
I believe it was 26 too. I looked at the original one.
Below 35 feet. Because that's all
which
we
is the code.
That's it. Is that what it says? Is it 32?
Yeah, they're below it. When I checked that, I knew they were below the 35.
So that's 32 to that, and then what's the height of the little peak at the top?
Cupola.
Cupola?
What's the height of that?
That I can't read.
Yeah, that I can't read.
It's pretty small.
Does that qualify under the 35?
No, it doesn't. So there's a clause in the code that's non-inhabited space. Church steeples fall under there. Weather vanes, things like that are not included.
So part of your roof that you don't actually use is included in that?
Yeah, so things like this they don't include because they're not having them.
Chimneys?
Chimneys, right. They're going to be 2 foot above the nearest 10-foot peak by code. Any chimney that you have is going to have 2 feet added to it. So.
Okay.
So any other questions? If not, accept the motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the residents of 984 West Valley View Road with the conditions of meeting all fire codes, engineering. And water.
I second the motion. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Gidd, yes.
Horner, yes.
Jones, yes. Okay, motion carries. We'll move to item four, which is the public hearing for the Wildland Urban Interface Code and the map to be adopted by the town of Daniel. Do I have a motion to open the public hearing?
Make a motion we open the public hearing for the Wildland Urban Interface Code and map to be adopted.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Jones, yes. Okay. So, Eric, do we have anything as far as the map?
So, the map was online for the state, what they're recommending. I did bring some maps for the irrigation, irrigated acres. That show the irrigated acres along the southern boundary. I also printed off the public service, League of Cities and Towns packet, and it contains maps versing Wasatch County. As we have our own, they have their own little area that Wasatch County wants to put in. As in their wildland interface. So we have several, I have the water maps here. Okay. And I don't have it on a computer to put up. So.
Everyone should have received this map, right? You have seen this, correct?
I'm just wondering if you have something we can show the public.
Don't have a big one.
Is there anyone here who would like to comment on this item?
Anybody want to see these maps?
Sure.
I'll have one up here to the council.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay, so take a quick look at that if you want to comment.
Sure.
We'll
so this is the
wait a couple minutes. Yeah.
So,
if not,
so
we'll
what we're looking at is whether we
Eric, do you want to speak to it? I know you've read quite a bit about
this. Well, I haven't seen this one right here. I have seen the state suggested one online, which is
how many people did have?
Oh, this is the irrigated.
Right, that's the irrigated acres we talked about. That probably be in a boundary.
Where's the stream on there? Is that the red?
It's out in it. There's irrigated acres on the other side of the stream.
Right.
So the stream's right, the dark blue line then?
that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just this side.
Right, the little red dots. I see it now.
You'll see this.
Is everybody familiar with what this is going to be?
No.
No? Okay. So what this is there's a House Bill 48 was passed from the state, and so it's a wildland interface. And those people that are, the town's going to figure out where this line is, they're going to put it on the map. The people that are on outside of that, inside the wildland, it will be collected on your taxes. And then you can go through mitigation on your house, or if you was to build a new house in that area, then we have what's called hardening, fire hardening, to keep non-combustible material. So wood siding would be out, cedar-shaped roofs, things like that. It will be in the code as you build a house. That is going to be the hardening that's within that zone. So it does affect quite a few residents, has a potential. I'm not sure what the fee is. They haven't really told us what the fee is yet.
You say that they've already drawn the line?
No, that's what this
board, we're trying to do.
We're trying to make a recommendation to the city council where that line should be.
There's going to be two separate maps, Jack.
Okay.
The state has already come up with what they consider a high risk area for our town of Daniels. There's one down in the South Hill Road. There's one down here where our water system is. And then you can see this big red blob over here is over where Stone is. Everybody understands about Stone Haven. So it's my understanding that the people within these red areas will be assessed a fee, but no one else will. What the map that we're required to draw will indicate what areas will then be required to have the enhanced building. And that when I say that, I mean, everyone that's already built now is grandfathered. But if you're developing, or if you're adding to, or new buildings, whatever, those then we will have, and this is a mandatory code that we have to adopt. We don't get to just say, oh, well, we don't want to do it that way. The state has already determined that we are going to do it, and so everyone will be adopting the same code. But there are, as Eric said, some additional things that will need to be happen. Enhanced roofs. I mean, if you were here before, they were talking about wildfire and having gaps in your soffit and that kind of thing. All of that stuff will be being taken care of and be inspected.
Okay, so back to my question. I thought. I heard others say that line hasn't been drawn, but I heard you say it has been drawn in some area.
It has not been drawn for the town of Daniel. But
except
I'm telling you,
what the red marks are on that.
This is what the state has come up with. Now, what we have to do, what the town has to do, the council will be determining the line, but we're taking input tonight. What the fire district has recommended to us is that we adopt Daniels Creek, and as it comes across, when it gets to closest to the Storm Havens, I'm sorry, the Little Sweden, and out to Little Sweden.
It's our street.
The end.
Right.
Okay, so in other words, everything south of there would be in this wild, what is the term again?
Urban interface boundary.
But would be in that boundary. So the people that are in that area are going to have to pay a fee to the state every year.
The way I'm
if they've already built, if they already have a house, they'll have to pay a fee to the state every year. And likely their insurance will go up significantly. And we don't know what else.
I think you're mixing things. What I have been told is that the people in the red areas here will be assessed a fee. The rest of us won't. But everybody below the line, if they're building or adding to their home, then will be required to have those upgraded codes.
Well, I thought those were the same things.
No, they're not. Not at all the same thing. Not at all the same thing.
I thought it was too.
It's all new builds.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
What's the benefit for
having the line where it's drawn, couldn't we put it up higher on the mountainside?
Well, I asked these specific questions. I'm on the fire advisory board. I have asked these specific questions, and what I'm told is, well, first of all, we said, how about if we just use the town boundary? Why don't we just do that? And I was told, do you think the state is going to accept that you have absolutely no risk? Is that what we're going to say? So there's that. And it has to be a man-made boundary or a natural boundary. So for us, it's Daniels Creek and Little Sweden Road.
Why wouldn't you stay on Little?
So if we're on the north side of Daniels Creek, we're okay. If we're not, then there's problems.
If that's what's adopted.
And Jason, your question, Daniels Creek goes down here and then it goes through Storm Haven. So what do we do with that?
I'm saying all the way through. I'm saying, why would you cut through Little Sweden and then isolate all the houses on the south side of the road?
Because it is subject to wildfire from this side.
Subject to you guys is drawing the line.
Well, so, this is your opportunity to voice those questions and to get those answers.
So we could also look at the line that the state has on their website, which is not in this room. I haven't seen it yet, which is different than this. And that's something
that
we should look at.
What does that look like?
I suggested that we have that as something we could look at. I don't know if that was for this meeting or for the council meeting, but it should be one of the options, and I think we should come up with a handful of options, and then the commission and then the council can vote on those.
I'm really confused about which map you're talking about. So if you can come up with a man-made or a natural boundary that can be voted on, obviously we want to minimize any trouble to any of our residents.
But the state's map isn't using their own policy. It's not using a man-made or a natural boundary.
This is the state map right here for the Daniel.
Okay. Yeah, where is that red on that map?
I'll email
it's
you
right down here,
tomorrow.
Down at the end of Southfield Road. It's right down here where our water system is, right in this area. And then all of this.
Is that your?
No.
Okay. We have to look and see it.
You have to understand the state is going to update that map every year, and that map is based on density of building as well as the vegetation. And so if you were to build, say, a whole bunch of houses on the other side of that line, that all of a sudden could turn red the next year and the town would have to change the boundary. So this is a moving thing. The legislature keeps changing things. They've said they're not charging the fee this year now because of all the problems that there have been. So I think our job, our requirement right now is to come up with what line makes sense. I don't know that there's anything that says we couldn't change it next year if we needed to.
There's not.
We can change it whenever we want.
We can change it whenever we deem it necessary to change based on the demographics or what happens along the existing boundary that we set according to what the state wants us to do at this point in time. But the thing that also we look at is historically acreage that has been watered along that area, that corridor that we're talking about at Daniels Creek. And we had a perfect example of what happened a few years ago with the fire that was on that side, and we've seen what was happening. So the further you go to the east on Daniels Creek, you run into a higher density of possibility of destroying structures and everything else because of the demographics of Storm Haven, Crazy Acres, and Tammy Lane, because they are right at the very base. We were lucky enough the fire didn't go any further than just slightly past Mill Road. It would have went much further. There would have been almost impossible to say what would happen.
Eric, is there any difference if you follow the proposed Daniels Creek boundary versus the irrigated
acre
boundary? Is there homes that are included or excluded
There are homes within the area, yes. Yeah, there were a few homes in there. And I will tell you this, Charleston adopted theirs and they use the town boundary. Theirs is adopted. Jeremy Hills was in our meeting and the emergency manager for Wasatch County, and he indicated that Charleston did use their town boundary as their, that's their map. They excluded the whole town.
Seems like we should try that.
Okay, the danger of this is that if you have a wildfire and you have not adopted a map that is reasonable, and we do have a fire, we've had one before, I hope and pray we don't have it ever again, but we don't know what will happen. It could be that the town of Daniel will have to pay for all of that fire fighting. The state will pick up the tab if we do what we're supposed to do. So there's that.
Well, we kind of anticipate that you guys are going to protect us guys. We don't anticipate you throwing us under the bus in all of this, because you're part of our community. And so the boundaries that they're laying out along Daniel Creek and down Little Sweden, those are arbitrary, because there is a much greater boundary between Daniel Creek and the hill. There's all that irrigated land, which you've already pointed out. That is by far a better fire rate than Little Sweden or the creek. The creek's just, that's combustible all along there.
Nothing along Little Sweden was in danger of that fire. I'm on Little Sweden.
Not that fire, no, but what if it had started farther east? What if it had started up there in the hillside there?
There's about 25 acres between the mountain and Little Sweden. Irrigated fields, creek.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. And Jack, no one's trying to throw anyone under the bus. The intent is...
Not for this.
That's the next part.
The intent is to... The intent is to mitigate the risk for everyone. And like I say, the state has mandated this for us to do it. And that's, I'm not voting anymore. I used to sit on the council, but I'm not any longer. The state has already come up with their map that they are saying is high risk. And so there's that. Now our job is to decide what is the boundary where we will then enforce the code for the enhanced building.
I will say as well, the state, I don't believe, has adopted a policy that insurance can't drop in the zone. And I had a similar experience in Provo, where as soon as they put that zone in, the insurance can drop you. And so you run the risk that nobody's going to be insured. A lot of insurers have left the state entirely. In California, they've mandated where they couldn't, and the rates have gone crazy. But until the state protects the homeowners in that area, there's a risk that they actually, as soon as you put them in that zone, they won't have any insurance.
No, that's not true. The state is requiring that insurance companies use this map, and this is the map that they'll be using.
But they've already dropped people.
Yeah.
I can control what the insurance companies have done, but that's what I'm saying, that insurance companies are going to be required to follow the map that the state puts out, not what we do, but what the state.
I'd like to see that. I don't think sure. Because when the city puts a home in an urban wildfire zone, then an insurance can drop whoever they want.
We're not putting anybody in an urban wildfire.
We are if we make
no,
the line.
No. We are setting a boundary where below that line, the code will be enforced, where you will have an enhanced for new construction, new development.
Yeah, I understand that.
Additions. And it's not terribly onerous. It's instead of wooden siding, you may use brick, you might want to use stucco, you might use something that's a little more fire resistant.
I understand.
You may want to use a metal brick.
I guess what I'm saying is if the town makes a map and we decide arbitrarily that this area is high risk, an insurance company has all the right in the world to say, hey, if the own town is deemed this as high risk, we will not want to insure those people.
We're not declaring anything as high risk.
You are.
I don't know.
Okay, let's hold this. We're going to spend all night here. if you want to talk, we need to come up to the podium, state your name, and make your comments. You've got 2 minutes each. I know the planning commission doesn't want to be here, so don't feel bad on this one. The reason the state did this was so that people could get insurance. If you want to read the law and become familiar with it, you're welcome to. Anyone here has comments that they want to make about where we should set the line or what recommendations that we want to or should send to the council, please come up, tell us who you are. And if no one has come up in a minute, I'm going to call for a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll come up. I can be public.
You're public. Joe public now.
I can be public. So the reason I brought that map is because there's Eric Dunker. For those that don't know me. The reason I brought that map is because I think that we're not, everybody has burned fence lines, right? Where does it stop? In the green hayfield. It's hard to light a green hayfield on fire. It's a buffer zone, and I think that that's what happened in the last fire, right? Everybody went down and turned on their sprinkler lines. It's a natural barrier. And I think, based on what I've read on this, the fire department is going to come out, they're going to be doing the inspection. Well, part of that figure assessed is going to stay with them for administration of this. And I think it's more of a power grab than anything, than a safety thing. I think that that's what I see myself doing. Again, I don't have a vote. I just play around a little bit, mess around with stuff. But if we have to have a map, and that's a map that is published, it's on the website, it's on Wasatch County's website, irrigated acres is a boundary. And I think we could use that map without getting into any much trouble, and that takes us over to the edge of the hill. I think that will eliminate a lot of houses and it will save a lot of folks some money. That's my guess.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, accept a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Oh, sorry. Jones, yes. Okay. Would anyone like to make a recommendation to the town council? This is there. I tend to agree that irrigated is boundary.
Most logical. And you're gonna save. I hate to break the news, but some people are up on the hill, and really, no matter what line we draw, some people are going to be in it. That's just the fact. So I think the fewer people are impacted by irrigated boundary,
it's logical. I think the fire, whatever that was, 4 or 5 years ago, proves the point, right?
It does. I think we still run into a little bit of problem up in the Crazy Acres area where we actually have the red zone from the state. And that red zone could change again next year because they are going to change it every year. But
I'd make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Please. I'll make a motion that we adopt as our wildfire interface boundary the irrigated property line.
Will you change that to make a recommendation to the council?
To the council, yes.
Okay, is there a second?
Second that. I thought Mr. Martin put that very well.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Jones, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Number 5 is a public hearing for a rezone request for a 1 acre property. We went back and reviewed the applications, and there was a separate application for that parcel, and we did hold a public hearing for that. We are going to still accept comments tonight. but we're not going to go through the formality of a public hearing. And I feel like it's inappropriate to have a second one when we actually had one on that specific application. Is the applicant okay with that?
Perfect.
Okay. So this is a 1 acre parcel on Highway 40 between two parcels that are already commercial. The only access to that parcel is from Highway 40.
Just that little triangle.
Yeah. Where is it again?
I think it's in that. No, we ran into some issues. Other issues with different parcels. Because there were.
Yeah, these parcels up here.
Yeah, but there was no issue with this parcel.
This one right here, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he owns this one too. But this second parcel has nothing to do with what we're considering.
Just the triangle?
We're only considering right there.
Right.
So this second parcel, that's residential, right?
Yes.
That's residential, and when.
But it's commercial here and it's commercial there.
So if we zone this commercial.
This is commercial.
What happens to the residential lot? It's not attached to.
We're not talking about.
We're not talking about that.
I know, but if we're talking about that acre, what happens to this lot?
It's still.
It's just.
RA5.
Okay.
Landlocked.
Just landlocked.
And then Brian didn't have to modify his application because he actually turned in two of them.
Right.
They were separate for each parcel, so we didn't have to modify his application. We're just pushing this one forward.
So that's trying to shape the speaker.
Okay. And we asked last time, like, what you're saying with that other parcel, because that's not.
We're not trying to
protect the little Sweden from all the commercial and all that stuff, right?
Right.
So that was part of the public hearing was.
It's just a dominant.
We're not. You can't just keep plugging away through until you hit Little Sweden and have that access.
I know.
But that's
the start of that, so that's why I mentioned that.
Well, not today.
Not today. Right.
Okay. So, like I said, anyone here would like to make a comment, or welcome to come up and comment. State your name.
Hello, my name is Jason Stewart. I live on Little Sweden. Just to be clear, we're talking about a piece of land in between what used to be Kimball storage units that's now sitting vacant, and what is now, we have Daniel's storage units, which is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of that, it's Houston, which we voted for recently to make commercial. So all of this we voted for to make commercial all the way down, saying one's commercial, let's make the next, and now we're in between two. So might as well make that commercial, right? I don't agree with that. There's commercial land for sale just north of Daniel's storage units. I don't believe that Brian bought this piece of residential land, a piece of non-conforming RA5, for anything other than to turn it into commercial. That seems like a sweet deal to me, to buy some residential land knowing you're going to get to turn it into commercial. I wish we all got that opportunity. The real question here is, are we going to turn RA5 into commercial? We had a town meeting about this back in the fall, and the whole town showed up, and one at a time said we want to protect our RA5. We spent a lot of money on it to not be in Heber and to not be near commercial. You guys all listened to that meeting. Then we did a survey on this, right? Online survey. You made bubble charts. You were showing some guy. It had the answers right in the middle of it. But the answer to the question has been answered twice already. We all told you we want to protect the RA5 and not turn it into commercial. I spent a lot of money on that piece of property. I did the due diligence to figure out where I was building, and it was RA5. And one piece at a time, it's become commercial. No one's asked Ryan what commercial he's going to put in that's going to benefit this town so much. What are we going to sell? What's the taxable revenue that you're going to generate? It's so important that we need to take a piece of RA5 that you guys tell people they can't build a house on. Non-conforming. You're saying you can't build a house on that. There's rules. Well, we're going to make this commercial because he bought it with the sole intention of... So who does this really benefit? Anyone other than Brian. The question for this council is, what kind of council do you guys want to be? Do you want to represent the residents of the town? Or do you want to represent people that don't live in our town, live in different townships around town, that want to buy our land and turn it into commercial? That's a good old boy system. So tonight you guys get to decide what kind of council you want to be. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Council, or have any more comments or thoughts?
My comments or thoughts are that with regard to our master plan and our proximity to Highway 40 and the distance of those, that making these changes is in perfect alignment with what our
general plan
has been. And so I don't really have a problem with it.
Okay. I agree with Byron. That is our general plan. That's why we zoned those other pieces that we mentioned. We've shown that Highway 40 corridor is commercial, which is part of very limited commercial space in the town.
And I do think that there is more benefit because it can't build on it as a 1 acre lot for residential. And so that is of no benefit to anybody in the town besides somebody that might graze a
horse or a goat.
And then if you have a business there, then there is the opportunity to have a little bit of revenue away from, like we talked earlier in our planning meeting, that you're away from residents. There is no access into our residential area. Only access there is on the 40. There's a huge buffer between where our actual residential is versus the commercial.
Any other comments?
How big is the lot south of it?
What'd you say?
How big is the lot south of the one we're talking about?
2.5 acres.
Okay, so yes, our general plan does say commercial on Highway 40. Absolutely it does. But it does not say commercial on Little Sweden Road. And I know the intention of this project. I know that it's going to start here and it's going to bleed back. We've already addressed this.
It only does that if we have to change
it only does that
codes and all of that. So
and that's what's already been presented. So well, as I understand that, I understand that
can't use a, well, I guess you can say what might happen. The application is for this piece. He would have to come back and apply for the other piece for that to happen.
You know, we're just strictly talking about the 1 acre.
I understand.
If we want to address the other 2.5 acres, but I'm not, you know, I did talk about purchasing the other piece, but that's, I've withdrawn from that, and they've actually taken the lot off the market.
So you're just going to sit on that empty piece in the middle?
What'd you say?
You're just going to sit on that empty piece in the middle and let it be landlocked?
For right now, that's their plan.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's all connected.
It's an interesting plan.
Okay. Anyone like to make a motion?
I
I'll make a motion that we approve the rezone request for the one that you recommend to the council, that we recommend approval for the rezone of the approximate property of 3350 South Highway 40, parcel number 20-4491, to be rezoned to commercial.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Got a motion, a second, call for the vote.
Skinner, no.
Taylor, no.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Jones, yes.
Great, motion carries. Okay, we'll move to item number six, which is a public hearing for Daniel code changes to the RA5 zone. Familiar with those? But we need to open the public hearing first, so I can accept the motion to open the public hearing.
So motion to open the public hearing.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes or no to open the public hearing?
Yes, please. Jones says yes.
All right. So.
Did everybody get a copy of what the changes are? Is interested?
No, sorry.
So the idea behind this is to change this back to what the county's code was when most of the properties were subdivided. Change was made when Daniel originally adopted the code. So right now it says that each lot in the RA5 zone has to have 250 feet width at the required building setback. It used to be 200 under the county. We require only 100 feet, or do now require 100 feet on the road. Before it was 200 feet. So it's like you've got this narrow piece next to the road, but then you've got to be wide back further. And so it kind of forces you to turn the house sideways, build a road, you know, on lots that were created that were 200 feet wide according to the county code. So the recommendation is that we change this back to how the code was when most of those properties were subdivided. It's created more flag lots than it is. It just, in my opinion, creates some unorganized development. I mean, there's some strange lots as it is, and some strange house placements, but I think going back to how it was when most of the property was subdivided would help. Also, right now, if you have a an additional residential unit in your house, it has to have the same entrance. So for example, if you have an apartment, it has to be totally within your building. It has to have use the same entrance as the main owner of the house. And the suggestion is that we change that so that it still has to be built within this main structure, and it may have a separate entrance, but it can only be rented as long as the property owner is the full-time occupant of either the main or the accessory unit. So the idea is the property owner needs to be there so that we avoid problems with the rental. But as long as the property owner's either living in the main or the rental, then it's fine to have that, you know, additional unit, which of course still has to be permitted and go through the planning health department process. So I don't know, does anyone have any comments or thoughts?
The 200-foot one is an interesting one. When you look at the like the beverage subdivision, you know, that road would have to go another 100 feet into that south lot, and technically that road was, I believe, 26 feet with a 50-foot right-of-way. And so there hasn't been obviously a lot of subdivisions in this town, but there has been some clear ones. And if you look at the Bedridge, we would have had to take that road an additional 100 feet, which I think is completely useless to make someone put a 26-foot road 100 feet more into the property. Chip's property next to that, actually, he had to build an access road, and that road would have had to go 100 feet more into that one at 26 feet. And I looked at the other one on the west side of town. And so for those situations where a lot of times when subdivisions are created, it's because roads or access has to be created. And the issue is we have required a 26-foot road with a 50-foot right-of-way, which, you know, is almost a freeway in some instances to get to one single lot. And by us eating into that for 100 feet, you know, I don't think that aligns very well with, you know, being a rural town. I also looked at a bunch of these other lots that line 3000 South Little Sweden, and I noticed a handful of lots that were 5 acres that don't have 200 feet of frontage. And I feel like if we went to 200, we would immediately be disqualifying folks for building permits, because even though they are 5 acres and maybe have 100 now, they wouldn't have 200. And so those two things really made me consider why we should just really, really dive with this before we implement it. The beverage situation is one that's very apparent. Chip's Road for the home he's in is also a very apparent one. And anytime anyone else does another subdivision, we would just be building a 26-foot road 100 feet into that lot, and which I think is unnecessary. So maybe we look at doing a caveat where if it's the last one or the last two, you know, if it's a road that goes in and you can do a shared driveway to get to the last lot. But yeah, that's my opinion, is an extra 100 feet, I believe, would be very detrimental and unnecessary for a handful of those situations.
So you're commenting to the second
change. Oh, sorry, yes.
Okay. One thing to clarify is this is not retroactive. So any lot that is currently a lot of record and meets the standards or met standards at the time it was subdivided in the county, then it would not affect them. This would be new subdivisions.
It's just to clarify on that, what I was saying is if the beverage subdivision was built under this, then that road, which is a cul-de-sac right now, would then have to be 100 feet more of 26 feet.
Okay. Anyone else have any comment?
Eric, does this have anything to do with fire services access?
No, this is a code that the county had 200 feet for years. It's been since 75, it's been 200 feet. And then in 2006, when we became towns, that was reduced to 100 feet. And so while we're doing is taking it back, we've seen a lot of, well, you guys have seen a lot of applications where this has come into play. Mm-hmm. And some of the smaller lots are saying it was divided legally prior, when we know that prior it needed 200 feet. So this would just clarify straight through that we're back at 200 feet for the entire, the same as the county was since 1975.
Any other comments from the public? Okay, if not, I accept the motion.
Can I ask, so if the lot has had what done to it?
If the lot's a lot of record now, it does not change.
So it has to have had a survey or something, or
It had to have been subdivided and recorded.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it is, it's, this does not affect it. This is for future. Or to make it possible, I mean, this change does affect lots or has affected lots now because you still, well, no, I guess I'm saying if you subdivide, you can't, you know, this makes it more difficult.
But more in line with the setback.
Yeah.
So
it's like you need this narrow little lot and then you need this wide lot. And what that's causing people have to do is turn the house sideways and then put a drive in, which, you know, can cost a lot of, you know, that's going to be more than 100 feet of extra roadway to be able to do that. But just thought, so if there's no other public comments, I'll accept a motion to close the public hearing.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll second it.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Guillen, yes.
Porter, yes.
Jones, yes.
Okay. Next option is whether we want to make a recommendation to the town council or whether the planning commission would like to think about this for a little while. We have a couple more months until we have to make that recommendation. So it's up to you. Someone would like to make a motion or comment that they'd like to think about it for a while, but keep it on the agenda. I guess the proper thing would be to continue this if that's what we want to do. So I would accept a motion to continue this. Or a motion to make a recommendation.
Make a motion that we make a recommendation to the town council that they approve these amendments, the proposed amendments, as stated.
Okay, is there a second?
I'm second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Porter, yes.
Jones, yes.
Okay, motion carries. We'll move to item number 7. Which is to set a public hearing for a new application for conditional use permit for Geneva Rock for a concrete batch plant. We have the issue with the sound study, and so they reapplied so that that can be considered.
At the request of the town, the outside council.
I'll make a motion that we set a public hearing for the application of Geneva Rock for their conditional use permit.
When would you like to set the public hearing?
I would set that public hearing for our May meeting.
13th, I think.
May 13th?
So is it the 20th?
Third Wednesday, whatever that is.
That's the 20th.
Oh, it's 20th, yep.
A second.
Okay.
Mr. Horner's motion.
Call for the vote.
So May 13th or the 20th?
20th.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Jones, yes.
Okay. I'm going to kind of wait here for that.
You can keep going. I have a question, but I'll ask you after.
Okay. All right. Item 9 is a new business license for Mark Moxie Home Services.
Skip number 8.
Number 8.
Number 8.
Why, yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, John.
Come back next time.
That's all right. I don't have next time. Let's go.
So we have the request for calls for the rezone. Just need to set the public hearing. Talked about that at last month's meeting a little bit. Down, a couple houses up the street from Eric's house.
Right here.
Yeah.
So I'd accept a motion to set the public hearing.
I'll make a motion that we set a public hearing to consider a zone change for RA5, parcel number 20-4532, to be changed to commercial for May 20th.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Ian, yes.
Horner, yes.
Jones, yes.
Who was the second on that, please? Is that TJ?
I don't know.
I got Kiefer. Kiefer?
Now we can go to number 9.
Where's this? Is that house on? It's the 189 side.
Okay, you got the end of the airport.
You can have her.
I'll have to look it up. It's this one. It's on 189 side.
Oh, for what? The one that.
I'll have to look it up. There's only a house on it.
Well, there's a different by classified.
Yeah, there's a house.
So Gary, the owner had a previous engagement tonight that he could not be here. So we do have his explanation. And on the back of it is this just business description. Get it? What are you going to do? Tell me what you think.
2.5 acres. I mean, yeah, but there's another 2.5 acres.
So reading that, it appears to me that this does meet the requirements for a residential rezone occupation.
Ladies,
do you have any comments?
Yeah.
Ah.
Who is this?
Are you sorry?
No, I don't know. Somebody else. Oh. I'm wondering if it's wrong.
I'm like, I don't think it's my
first. Oh,
okay. I didn't bring my green house. Walk out there.
Okay.
It's a professional home staging. Here, here's guy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But since business operates primarily off-site, because they're doing that at the client properties.
But what are they storing all of this staging equipment?
33 South Highway 40.
Yes, and from what I've seen, they pretty much move it from house to house.
Yeah, stage to stage.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, accept a motion.
Motion to approve the business license application for Moxie Home Services LLC.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Ian, yes.
Horner, yes.
Jones, yes.
Okay. Number 10, the plan report.
In the middle of yesterday.
For us. Nope, I have no comments. You see everything we got? We're hopping.
Oh, I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
So last year there was a complaint about too many horses there on the 650 East Road. And they had them in a big field. And now that field, they've been kicked out of that field, and on the other side of the fence is the backyard of the red brick house. And there's, how many horses are in there?
Sixteen, I know.
You talking to Watson's?
Yes, the Watson's house.
I'm with you.
There's more than a dozen horses in the backyard of the Watson's house.
A quarter acre.
And that may or may not be with permission. I don't know the answer to that. But we have already issued a cease and desist letter.
Across the road.
That was on the other side.
For her house.
Pearson just let her move over to the field for the winter, and now the field's not available.
Correct.
So she's got to come up
with
plan B.
But that's my point is, or that's my question.
Yeah.
Is that same complaint, it's the same individual with the same horses, violating the same code on the other side of the street? So does that need to have a whole new complaint filed?
Yes. Yes, it will. But I'm trying to figure out where you're at. Are you behind the Watson home?
Yes.
So that's 4.7 acres?
No.
They have the pasture. They were in the pasture all winter. They're going to farm the pasture, so they moved them just
on the other side. It is the Watson's property, though.
Yeah.
So that it probably is...
That count.
Yeah.
Other than it's closer to a residence than the...
But it's in the back. It's in a fenced-in backyard area that can't be more than a quarter acre, maybe an eighth of an acre.
A lot of horses there.
That's a lot.
They corral them is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that would meet a zoning violation, though, because that property has 15 acres back there.
They could have 10 horses in it.
And so...
2 per acre.
The horses only moved, I think, because Mr. Pearson is refused.
Is going to irrigate, try to farm them. That's fine. That doesn't negate the fact that you've got this potential health hazard with 12 or 15 animals shoved in this little corral. But it may or may not be a violation because that is a continuous piece of property.
Right.
And
I think regardless, there's probably still too many animals where the original complaint was filed. I don't remember exactly what the heads per acre is, but that's still a highly dense
populated
parcel.
Okay, so that complaint went to the property owner. It didn't go to her. It went to Fred Fage, who owns that property.
Yeah.
And he's the one that resolved that. So if we're over on that property, we need to readdress that.
It's still the same,
great to bring it up and try to understand, but it's not planning's responsibility to
enforce.
So if you have concerns,
what's the royal complaint per acre? 2 per acre.
2 large animals per acre.
So you want another complaint, or what's next?
Yeah, the council won't look at it unless we have a written complaint.
Yep.
And they'll send me to investigate that.
Is that like that they're on, that they're corralled an acre, or the whole property?
The whole property.
Just the property. Okay.
See, and I had 21 cows. I'd bring them into the corral for the winter, but I had 100 acres.
Okay.
So it's the same. I mean, that's what you do, right? You bring your cows in for the winter, and you put them out in the summer.
Okay.
So, yeah.
If you had those 20 or 30 horses confined to a $1 million barn, nobody would think it was wrong.
Nope. That's true. They were almost
behind my house. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway. Anything else on planner report? If not, we will then go to item 11, which is the approval of minutes.
I have read the minutes and don't have any concerns or additions or problems with that.
Feels like a motion to approve.
Does anyone else need time, or can we?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for the March 18, 2026 meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Call for the vote.
I'm going to abstain. I wasn't here.
Taylor, yes.
Again, abstain.
Skinner.
Warner, yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Very
Gary has some training.
I'm just going to, well, I'll give it to you after a little bit. I wanted to let you know that we have passed a couple of new policies. One is the data privacy policy, another that's required by the state. So I just wanted to point out that we will try to redact. You noticed on the business application tonight, we had a redacted area. Personal information, addresses, phone numbers, things like that. You may have access to some of those things. I just caution you to not release those to anybody unless you have permission from that individual to release. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're going to try to do that. The second policy is conflict of interest. This is also in the state code. But the town council is now going to require a conflict of interest statement from all of us, and it'll be just once a year. So I'm not going to do it tonight, but I will get you that form. And then, you know, it basically is asking, are you going to be able to profit from any of your responsibilities? That's all we're looking for, okay? So there's that. And then tonight, after you read the general plan for our meeting tonight, so I hope that was familiar to you. Tonight I have some information about conditional use permits, because we're going to be talking about that again. So I'll be distributing that, and you just take that home with you, okay?
Cool.
Perfect.
A question on the privacy. So if I go home and for some reason I throw this in the trash, should I shred it? You've
yeah.
marked out the stuff, but the address is still there.
Well, the address of the business is there.
True.
But not the personal address.
So you'll usually go through and mark those out. So if I go
well,
home
start
and toss it in
now.
My garbage,
you should
for
be
example.
Careful about that.
I should be careful. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you should be careful.
Question,
and of course, you know.
Poorly stated, but yeah. Okay.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I'm not sure we're done yet.
I was just wondering, did anybody have any questions about any of the other trainings that we started off with just a general, this is kind of how it all works. Did anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, perfect. Anytime you have anything you need to know, let me know. You know, Jolene will be taking over here soon, but I'll still be supporting her,
yeah.
And
cool.
We'll be doing our best.
Yeah.
That's all I can
excellent.
Say.
That's all we can do.
Thank you all for being here tonight. This is very awesome.
Okay, we've had a motion to adjourn. We'll call for the vote.
Skinner, no. Oh, Skinner, yes.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a technicality, I think, but so we schedule the public hearing for a month from now, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we'll come to the public hearing. Is the plan to discuss the conditions of the conditional use permit at that point and approve it or deny it? Because Mary was telling me that it might be the month after, and I'm just a little bit confused. Oh, should we come anticipating approval next month, or denial, or why does it just be skipped a month, I guess, for approval?
We will have the public hearing, we'll look at the application, we'll discuss it, and then just hear if the Planning Commission feels comfortable with where we're at, they can approve that, or they could continue.
Well, I think that has that potential to make a decision has to be on the agenda.
Yes, and it will be on the agenda.
But we don't necessarily have to make that decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, if there's
it's like the
comment brings up big issues.
Right, the Highway 40, it's like public comment, and then
we
made a recommendation.
Yeah.
So
could go that way if public hearing's uneventful.
And so, I guess
I would say put it in the agenda so that that can happen.
Yeah, I guess that's my request,
that.
So that I don't have to come up here to then do it
no.
again. But then the other thing is like, what do you guys want me to present on? You know, I've presented before. I mean, I can come prepared to discuss the whole sound study again and rehash all those details. But I obviously, like, I know that you guys are aware, but there could be public.
I think. We've already heard like the big concerns, but I think it would be helpful. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but to say we reapplied based on sound studies and
right
knowledge. And
so
I'll come prepared in case we need to get.
Yeah, we have no control over what the public's going to say, and so if you're prepared to help answer that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, because it's a.
But I think it would help the public to understand why you're doing it again.
I mean, I can definitely, I'll explain that for sure. But like, I'll have it ready, but I mean.
Right.
It has been, a lot of the concerns have been mitigated, but it's just like, I don't know how detailed we get after what we've been through, but I'll just come prepared. If we have to, we'll have to, but.
I would guess that it's going to be the same people commenting that have already been here and heard the others, so.
Yeah.
Hear it again, and yeah, it would help if you have the information with you. Because if we're stuck looking for information, then it could get continued. If you wanted to, then go to a vote.
Yeah.
Next month, and it'll help if we have all the information that.
Okay. I'll have it ready. Thanks.
Alright.
Ian, yes.
Order, yes.
George, yes.
Nine.